Hey, what's up, flies? This is David Spade.
Dana Carvey.
Look, I know we never actually left, but I'll just say it. We are back with another season of Fly on the Wall.
Every episode, including ones with guests, will now be on video. Every Thursday, you'll hear us and see us chatting with big-name celebrities.
And every Monday, you're stuck with just me and Dana. We react to news, what's trending, viral clips.
Follow and listen to Fly on the Wall everywhere you get your podcasts.
Rev up those fryers, because I am sure hungry for one...
Greg Hill Show.
Broadcasting from beautiful and safe Brighton, Massachusetts.
Woo! It's go, 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 go time.
It's...
You're a cool hill man.
The Greg Hill Show.
We're up and out of Greg, don't worry about that.
Tick, tick, boom.
Starring the biggest foodie on the planet.
To me, food is the most important thing.
White bread is succulent.
Greg Hill.
Get ready with me while I go to the dive. This bathing suit available for $47.99. We've invested in this company, and we can cure poison ivy. Lincoln Bio.
Featuring the parlay playboy himself.
This tickles my fanny. Does that math make math? I did not know that.
Wiggy.
The first thing I would do if I were Craig Breslow is fire myself.
Craig.
Stop and pitch it. I'd go out and get another hog.
Joined by Boston's number one linguist.
Criminal mischief and arson
have become this kind of tangent. Pete Buttigieg.
Courtney Cox.
That dog is absolutely massive.
Yeah, that's a giant great dane.
Wow. Also, yesterday you were like, that's a bloodhound.
I know.
That's not a bloodhound. It weighs 160 pounds,
I
that
know.
Dog.
And accompanied by two big brains behind the glass.
Don't put salmonella with your yams.
I'm on Shime Island.
Like, talk to me, Daddy.
You are both morons.
Curtis and Shime.
My source said that they were given video. They saw video of the pterodactyl in a cage.
Well, I had sources send me photos of Swayman meeting with Sweeney at the coffee shop.
Now.
Let's get down to business.
It's time to party.
It's time for the Greg Hill Morning Show.
Morning.
Good hello, morning, everybody.
Hello, good morning.
Good morning, everyone.
Morning.
Good morning, my neighbors.
On Boston Sports Original.
W-E-E-I. It's all my people.
W-E-E-I.
When I say Greg Hill and you say show, Greg Hill. Greg Hill. Greg Hill. Show. All right.
Woo! It's go, 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 go time.
Let the games begin.
Let's go.
Let's go.
Let's go.
Tick, tick, boom.
What's going on, everybody?
Good morning.
What's good with you, man?
Happy Monday. I will say this show is predominantly sports.
Mm.
Sports.
Yes.
Every day.
Yeah.
But I will also be unapologetic about this show. Probably
sports.
This show today probably being full of a lot of LB.
Yeah.
Oh, yeah.
And so I am gutted by the passing of our pal Lyndon Byers over the weekend. And we were, LB and I were friends for 34 long years and coworkers on the same radio show for 23 years. And so there's a lot to talk about when it comes to LB, who passed away on Saturday.
Yeah, I mean, I met him a handful of times, hung out with him. Great guy. Obviously, you guys had an unbelievable work and friendship relationship. But, you know, when you see guys you know that are young and they're gone too soon, that have a family, you know, all you can think about is the times that you spent with that person.
Yeah.
And realizing, like, man.
Yeah.
Wow, it's, you know.
You often on the show
refer
to yourself as the Black LB.
Yeah. And he would often refer to himself as the White Wiggy. So,
yes.
You know, and that's the thing that, you know, you when you know somebody, it hurts like that.
Yeah,
and
it does hurt.
I never met him, but every time he called in, he made you feel like you've known him forever. And I just loved the mutual respect and I think adoration you two had for each other. Like the way you speak about him and whenever he called in, the way he talked to you.
Yeah.
Like you could tell that Wiggy's right. It wasn't just a work relationship. You guys had a really great friendship.
Well, we last had him on this show in February, and LB was a leap year baby, and so was celebrating his birthday. And I think, I don't know, it was probably a month ago or so that I mentioned I had spoken to him, and mm-hmm. he was in the hospital and dealing with some stuff. And I don't think it's always a good lesson about making sure that you're always, when somebody is not feeling great, that you're always checking in with that person. And because you just
never know.
You just never know. So there's a lot to get to when it comes to LB this morning on this show and forever. And he was a guy who was drafted in the second round by the Boston Bruins and came here and turned into more of a Bostonian than a lot of people who live here. And so I don't know, Wiggy, you'd have to tell me if there's anybody that did this more than LB. But when it comes to a period of time playing in that kind of a role mm-hmm. for a sports franchise in the city, which
right.
is basically a goon role,
mm-hmm.
I don't know that there's anybody who would go out and about after his career and was more beloved by the fans than LB was.
Yeah, he was one of those guys, Greg, where it was like, you know, when you don a jersey for one of the local teams and you're just like the fan favorite because, excuse me, you're a guy who plays with grit, who plays a specific role, and especially in hockey during that time, that enforcer, that guy that, you know, was there to protect everybody.
Oh, gosh.
Sorry about that.
That's all right.
So when you have those guys and then they retire and they stay around and they, you know, obviously you and him and the rest of the Greg Hill Show on WAAF at the time with all those, you know, different characters becoming part of the fabric of, you know, people's everyday lives, like kind of what we do now. And you have a guy like that who when you meet him, you're like, oh, wait a second. This is just a regular guy, you know, but. You're like, I remember when he played for the Bruins, and then you get an opportunity to meet him. I played in a couple Bruins alumni games, and he was so nice to my youngest son, who was a hockey player.
Yeah.
And I think those guys are hard to come by where they give you everything they got on the field, but then off the field after their career.
They do even more.
Right.
And, you know, when it comes to charitable endeavors, there was, I will argue till I'm blue in the face, which I probably already am anyway, that there's nobody who did more of that than LB. He would mm-hmm. go, you told him that you were trying to raise money, doing something somewhere, he would show up.
And, right.
And he'd hang out for 5 hours with everybody and have a blast. So he might be late getting there, but he would be there and he'd have a great excuse.
Yeah.
Nobody had a better excuse for missing work than LB.
You can also feel the impact on listeners that you had back at AAF to this day, because Wiggy, I think, has such an interesting take of, you know, once you're off air, people will forget about you and they'll mm-hmm. move on to the next and they'll move on with their life. How many road shows are we at that I hear people going up to you nonstop saying, how's LB?
How's LB?
And bringing up stories about him. Like, he is just people. He's still a part of people's everyday life because his jokes, I guess, live on for them.
They do. Yes, yeah. they do live on. And his language. He has his own unique language. Yeah. So
that's generally what we have as former players. We have our own language. And that's what I loved about LB more than anything, is that he was just a regular guy who, like, you know, and understood that, was a former professional athlete. And that was the biggest thing about when you meet so many of these guys. The regular ones are the ones that kind of stick with you, that you can, like, LB would have a beer with just anybody. It didn't matter to have a conversation about whatever. So
in the Twitch chat, somebody says, can you imagine if LB worked here when we had unlimited flex days? Can you imagine?
Yeah.
He was the best at coming up with an excuse. He would miss a lot of work. And
do you have a favorite excuse?
I have a couple favorites. At one point, he, because he would normally not be there for the show, and we would scramble around wondering where he was and what had happened, and he wouldn't answer his phone. And then around 10:30 or 11 o'clock, we would hear from LB, and he would have an excuse. So I would say among the best are, one point he apparently couldn't make it to work because he had been sprayed by a skunk. And so Lord knows he can't chime. He can't come to work when you have been sprayed by a skunk.
No, that's a courtesy to your fellow coworker.
Yeah, correct. That's nice.
Yes.
Got to bathe in tomato juice, right?
Another time he had had his hardwood floors redone, and he claimed that he was overcome by fumes and so therefore could not make it in to the morning show on that day as well. So nobody was ever better with, and it's kind of hard when you go that deep into the excuse,
right?
It's kind of hard to call it out, you know what I mean?
And that's who he was, though. Like, that's the thing about, you know, in this business, some people are not the same people off the air than they are on the air, but that's the one thing about, you know, LB, is it seemed like he was the same guy off the air that he was on the air.
100%.
You know, and that's the thing that you love
about him. Absolutely not different at all. Like, there was no radio LB. There was no Daisy's or Dad's LB. There was just the same LB everywhere LB went, so... And I'm telling you right now, there are not a lot of athletes that have left their footprint, their mark on this city the same way that LB has.
Yeah. And I think that's the one thing as athletes, it's, you know, what's your legacy when it's all said and done? You know, obviously our deepest condolences to his family, but what's your legacy? And when, you know, people speak about LB, his legacy on the ice, we know what that is and what he meant to his teammates. And you, everybody that you kind of talk to, always, that's the great thing about, I always looked at as a former athlete, and I know we always looked at, is how did your teammates perceive you? And the one thing that, from talking to a lot of guys that were teammates with LB.
We were just talking about it on the show a month and a half ago with Jay Miller about LB.
Right.
And those guys loved him.
Yeah, and that's the biggest, and like, that to me is the greatest respect that you can have as an athlete. Yeah, you want to win the championships and you want to be remembered as one of the best players and, you know, elite talents, but the greatest respect that an athlete can have is his teammates really saying, man, this guy was the salt of the earth. And that's the thing about, you know, from talking to guys that had played with him, they always said about LB.
Well, he is gone way too young, 61 years old, and you can, and I would love it if you would, talk about LB all morning long here on this show. Red Sox with a sweep.
They're sweep.
What are the odds, and I would love this, what are the odds that when Curtis arrives back from his 2 weeks off in Hawaii, the Sox are right in it? Like, how
they could be in first place.
How fantastic would that be?
That would be classic.
I mean, it's not unlikely that they are right back in it. Mm-hmm. I mean, you left this weekend with this sweep.
Yep.
You can do the same to the Rockies.
Yeah.
Right.
And you are right there and right back in it.
And now you're chasing Toronto. You're not even chasing the Yankees because the Yankees have hit a slump.
Yeah.
And if you could continue to – the thing with the Sox is they can't sweep a series and then go to another series and then lose a series. They got to be able to put this together like they did when they had that six-game winning streak. If you could put a little bit of run like that, not only are you right back in the wild card, but like Sam Kennedy said – they're chasing the division.
Yeah, I mean, the Blue Jays would have to really slow down.
Not
they're
really.
Six and a half games back still.
Yeah, but look at what the Blue Jays were able to do to catch the Yankees.
Yeah.
So I think it's, you know, who's to say that the Blue Jays wouldn't go on? Because it's saying like the Blue Jays have been tearing the cover off the ball all season long. They had a nice, they've been on a nice little run. So who's to say they don't hit a little bit of a bump and you get one of those runs. Now you're right back in the mix.
Well, we will talk about that with you all morning long here on the Greg Hill Show at WEEI. And also, it seems like there's about to be a Celtics update or two, which we will get to on this morning's program. This is Mike from South Boston. Mike, good morning.
Morning, guys. Hey. I met LB at Mass General. I couldn't tell you how long ago. Both seen the same doctor for our knee operations. One of the best people I've ever met in my life. caring, giving, loving, funny as hell.
Yeah.
The Juan Epstein of missing days. Boss is going to miss him. We love him.
Yeah.
Sorry for your loss, Greg. Great guy, man. Yeah. You guys have a great show.
The best.
Yeah.
He was, before Wiggy would travel around with autographed 8x10s, right. LB would travel with autographed 8x10s.
That's what makes him awesome.
And when things got tough,
right.
he would photocopy an 8x10 and sign the actual photocopy of the 8x10 for those. Because, you know, it costs a lot.
That's what I do. I bring my 8x10 right in here to the Xerox machine. I make about 75 copies.
And then you print them out and bring them with you.
And then I print them so I never run out of them. And see, that's the thing about...
But like photocopied versions are kind of like, what do you do with it?
The same thing you do
with it in a frame?
They put it in some sort of a manila folder or something. Yeah, and
put it in a frame.
Kid is it black and white?
Kid puts it
walks around with a briefcase just full of 8x10 photocopies.
See, that's exactly who he was.
Right.
Like, it costs a fortune to, I would assume,
to get
100.
To Xerox 100 of them.
To get the actual prints.
Oh.
Stop talking about Xerox again.
Well, if you go to Staples, and I've done that before, it costs a lot of money, to get 75 or 100. You can't, if you get them from the organization, they're probably going to charge you. So you have your original.
Yeah,
you pop it right in the Xerox machine for 75 for free.
You know what? You and he are more alike than I think many of us ever realized.
No.
It's really amazing. This is Joe in the car. Joe, good morning.
Good morning, guys. Good morning. Greg, when I heard the news, I was sad, man. I just, when people say the big bad Bruins, he is, other than Terry O'Reilly, he is the next guy that I looked up to as a, he was just a, when you interviewed him, he was just a regular guy, and that thing that he walked away from that show, I still, I laugh when the guy says, Lyndon just walked away. I he was just that, he didn't care.
No,
he didn't care.
Yeah. No, he liked.
I loved him, man.
He liked doing the morning show. He didn't want to. He didn't want to play a bunch of songs and whatever.
He didn't like doing the songs.
Well, he wanted to be on like a talk show.
Oh, okay.
He didn't want to. He didn't want to. I mean, you're absolutely right about that. And that, he and Cam Neely both arrived same time.
Yep.
And that team, they made it to the finals against Edmonton in 88 and in 90, I believe.
Mm-hmm.
And that's also the team that beat the Montreal curse because the Bruins had been unable to beat the Canadiens in the playoffs for 45 years. Mm-hmm. And so that team is the team that finally did it.
Yeah.
So, some lofty achievements there by that Bruins team.
Yeah, I think that's, like, for me, the biggest part is when you get to meet some of these guys after they played. And you remember, I remember watching LB when I was, like, a teenager, young kid, like Greg said, with some of those late 80s, early 90s Bruins team. And then you get to meet them and you get to know them. The thing that I really loved about LB is, you say people are regular guys and that he was, but when you see people who are regular that go through everyday struggles and you realize that, they're more than just athletes and athletes are not like superheroes. Like these are people that deal with everyday struggles, regardless of what that could be.
Yeah.
I think that's the thing that, obviously what you and LB were and the rest of the show were able to create. And LB was one of those kind of like forefathers when it comes to athletes on the radio.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
You being able to bring his voice to a lot of listeners around here, I think that's really something. And him being able to do it for such a long time. And like you said, when he did show up, he was just unique. And he was not afraid to talk about whatever. Like, I think that's what really transcends for a lot of people.
Well, and also you talk about growing up here. Mm-hmm. And if you and I both grew up here.
Mm-hmm.
And we were both Bruins fans. Mm-hmm. So for me, when I met him, I had literally just started my radio show, and I was 24 years old.
Right.
And he's a guy that I had watched in high school play for the Boston Bruins because he got here in 1982. And I left high school. I didn't graduate in 1985. And so then you're able to become friends with somebody like that. It's when you're when you're in your 20s. Right. It's a really amazing thing.
But you've given him the opportunity to do that, right? Like, you give him the opportunity to get on the radio, because you know, a lot of people are former athletes on, and LB being able to carve out his niche, you know, because of, so there are a lot of people, they know LB the hockey player, and then Greg, you know, ultimately brings him on the show, and then now you get to learn about LB the person.
Yeah.
And I think that's the biggest thing that, you know, he was able to show. And if you got an opportunity to ever meet him, you'd be like, wow, not only is there a real guy, but he's not afraid to kind of tell you what's on his mind. And that's what you loved about him.
Well, I'm sure that there are some great memories out there, and we are happy to talk about those. This morning, we are going to get to our leads coming up in about 10 minutes. And then they said it at 7:20. That is a quick back and forth on everything they said over the weekend. And after a sweep, Lucas Giolito did his best Kevin Millar impression, and we will talk about that, among other things, during They Said It at 7:20. News with Courtney coming up at 7:45 this morning, and could 10-cent beers for 1 hour be in our future here in Massachusetts? It is a possibility, Shime, and I know that will make you happy.
Oh, that sounds great.
Also, what was the debate between you and Mego about whether the 4th of July is a drinking holiday? Did I hear a little bit of that on the show?
Yeah, I had Mego and I were discussing like full day drinking holidays, and I said that
is.
4th of July is one of the best ones.
It's America's birthday.
Yeah. 100%.
Was Mego not on board on that?
Well, she is not really a great day drinker, is ultimately what it boils down to, because she claims that like if she starts drinking too early, she has to take a very long nap in the middle of the day.
That's fair.
Well, I mean, that is
she
fair.
Was making sense though. That's how I woke up on Friday morning, is listening to them, and it was an interesting debate. And she basically was throwing out like St. Patrick's Day, which is obviously a full day of drinking.
Okay,
and a few other,
not everywhere though.
That's a good point.
I mean, here in Chicago, basically. Yeah,
right.
North Carolina, Charlotte has a good one.
Wouldn't it be 4th of July and nationally? And Cinco de Mayo, right?
What's the question? Best day drinking holidays?
Correct. Yeah, yeah.
Yeah, I mean, 4th of July seems like really the only one. I mean,
especially because everybody has the day off.
Right.
Like, that's the thing about 4th of July is almost everybody in the country has the day off. And so you can drink at 9 a.m. if you want.
I can't even think of another one that would come close. I mean,
well, no, that's what I
said. Cinco de Mayo, yes, but I think people more likely go out to lunch and have a margarita or something. Right. They don't get up and go out on the porch
at
10:30 a.m. and have a Tito's blueberry lemonade and soda.
But when you think about that day though, like you think about the 4th of July and Cinco de Mayo, you think about like days where people go, like on the national level, people go, you know what, I'm just gonna go out and have drinks. I mean, locally, like you said, St. Patrick's Day
more than Cinco de Mayo,
and the marathon day, right?
Oh, marathon Monday. Yes. Here, yes, 100%. Opening day here,
right?
I think at Fenway, people get after it a little bit.
Yeah, because the game starts so early. Especially, and like on Marathon Monday, you could start at the crack of dawn.
Mm. This is Jeff in the car. Jeff, good morning.
Good morning, Greg. Just thinking about Lyndon like you are. I grew up with him, loved him. Sorry to hear that he passed. But a trivia question. Can you name the three numbers that he wore with the Bruins in his 9-year career? Three of them.
34, obviously.
Yes.
I believe he also wore number 12.
Yes, he did. That's what he broke into the league with. And then you got one in between.
And then I believe that he also wore number 33.
Bingo. You got it. You know Lyndon Byers like I know Lyndon Byers. Good job.
How's that for the old man memory?
There you go.
That was pretty good.
That is spectacular. And I just as a side note, I won't keep you long. I'm a men's league hockey player. I got to skate with Lyndon in an alumni game. just a fabulous guy. Funny, lighthearted, just not a hardo when you got to meet him. And I'm sad about it, too.
Yeah. Biggest heart going. Mm-hmm. Had a heart of gold.
Right.
Heart of gold rejoin.
Yeah.
There's actually, Shime, there's some rejoins that LB would want us to play. So I'll give you a list this morning.
I think I got one for the lead song today.
Oh, you do?
I think so. If I remember correctly,
yes.
I think I got one.
Yes.
And the great thing about LB is if you asked him that same question, he would not know what jersey numbers he wore. And that would be
he would have no idea.
I wore number 12.
No, he would have no idea. You're right about
he'd be
that.
Like, he would remember one. He'd be like, I wore 33. You sure? I don't think I wore 30. Yeah. And that was the great thing. But that was the great thing about LB is that, you know, that's
what. He didn't care all that much about that kind of stuff.
That's what made him unique, you know? Yeah, so he is going to be missed. And I will say, my favorite drop of all time with LB. It's just going to hit differently now when I hear it.
Yeah.
You know what I mean?
Yeah.
Should we play it or should
I don't know. I mean, it just hits different. Yeah, you know what I'm saying?
Yes,
I think you got to play it, but when you kind of hear how it ends, you're like, you know.
It does.
You know, it just hits different.
All right. Well, let's get to Courtney and to what is trending first thing this morning.
Your home of the Sox. Now, here's what's trending on WEEI.
Trending now brought to you by Awaken 180 Weight Loss. The Sox had a great weekend, sweeping the Nationals on the road. Yesterday's win was a 6-4 final after the guys scored four runs in the first inning. Garrett Crochet went five innings in his start, giving up two runs on nine hits while striking out seven. The Sox back home now to take on the Rockies. 7-10 first pitch with Richard Fitz getting the start. Will Fleming and Brooksy on the call right here on the Shaw's and Star Market. WEEI Red Sox Radio Network. Join Christian Arcan at 6:10 for the MassMutual pregame show. The Sox will send three guys to the All-Star game next week in Atlanta. Starter Garrett Crochet, closer Aroldis Chapman, and third baseman Alex Bregman were all named All-Stars yesterday. Chapman led AL receivers in votes. There was a big seven-team NBA trade that went down yesterday. The major part of that deal is KD heading to Houston from Phoenix, but the Atlanta Hawks, the Brooklyn Nets, the Golden State Warriors, the Minnesota Timberwolves, and the LA Lakers were also involved in the deal, which involved 13 players and several future draft picks being exchanged. And at home, it is reported that the Celtics are interested in Dame Lillard, and Dame is interested in the C's. So this is a deal that could be happening, and it could be happening very soon.
Mm.
It was also very interesting over the weekend after there was some reports of Derek White maybe being tied to the Warriors.
Mm-hmm.
The Celtics put out, like, it's been a year since we locked down Derek White. And then they did the same kind of post with Jason Tatum today. So.
But it does seem, I know we're late, but it does seem like Al Horford is gone. Like, he's either, he's either retiring or he is going to play
somewhere else.
And so that means you don't have a center on this team.
Right.
Which is for this season.
Anyway. Yeah, you're going to be dealing with Nemus Kata, the Graza guy that they signed.
Yeah.
So.
Would you say that it's retirement? I think it's retirement.
You think it's retirement?
Yeah.
See, I think he's going to play for somewhere else. I think he's going to give it one more shot, like for a real contender.
Okay. And we all know summer is the easiest season for weight loss. Warm weather, lighter meals, being outside, our bodies are primed to succeed. And Awaken 180 has your game plan. Reach your goals this summer with Awaken 180, the official weight loss program of summer. That's what's trending. Our leads coming up.
I'm Dana Carvey.
I'm David Spade.
Fly on the Wall's back for another season now on audio and video every Monday and Thursday.
So many incredible guests will be joining us.
Follow and listen to Fly on the Wall everywhere you get your podcasts.
Too good to be true.
Next.
Good one for LB from 617 texter on the Subaru of New England text line. I had forgotten that he was in that music video. Courtney, Shime. Probably don't know what music videos are, but
I loved music videos growing up.
You were able to watch them growing up?
JoJo Leave Get Out was one of my favorites. I used to watch that every morning getting ready for middle school.
Oh, really?
Yeah.
Okay.
It was on like TLC TLC? Yeah.
That was extreme, and they were very popular when neither one of you was born, so.
Well, the fact that LB was in a music video, and wasn't he in like a couple movies?
Yeah, Shallow Hal.
Oh,
he was in Shallow Hal.
What did he do in Shallow Hal? Did he play himself?
No, he played like random guy number one.
Oh, I love that.
And was on several episodes of Rescue Me, the Dennis Leary show. And
that's
so,
pretty cool.
Is that the firefighter show?
Yeah.
Yes. I was also on One Chime, but
were you really?
I don't like to brag about my Hollywood career.
Flex.
I think it was actually in two
That's pretty cool.
With speaking roles.
Yeah, that's pretty cool.
Not hired for my acting ability.
That's all right.
Or my looks.
That's all right.
But yes, tribute show for LB this morning. This is Phil from Brighton. What's up, Phil?
Hey, Greg. Hey, just want to reminisce a little bit. I used to work over there at 20 Guest Street back in the day with Julie Kahn and way back then when you had the Mantown calendar. And I did the facilities over there, Greg. So I was up there. Me and Morgan, we'd be up there in your studio with Spaz. Pocahontas up there. Yeah. What a time up there, Greg.
Conveniently,
but I just wanted to say,
Phil, if I remember correctly, conveniently, you guys would always have a maintenance issue that you needed to fix when there was a Mantown calendar shoot being done, if I remember correctly.
Greg, I used to meet Ash, and I used to take the girls with security up to the third floor and go right into the studio and watch the whole show.
I'm sure you did.
And I remember you, Greg, having a LB would stand up and he'd be waving through the, you know, where the production studio is.
Yes.
That guy was such a sweetheart. But I want to say, Greg, that, you know, he'd come down, you know, when we were having our break, in between a break for you guys, and he'd need to have a breakfast sandwich, you know, to soak up something from maybe the night before. You know what I mean? But that guy would sit down and talk with us and just yuck it up and reminisce about, you know, his time over in Asia or whatever. Yeah, yeah. You know where that could go.
Yeah.
But, I mean, he was just I'm saddened today, you know what I mean? And I just want to say, Morgan, where are you? Where you at?
Like, legit, larger-than-life person.
Yeah.
Always.
Yeah.
So,
Was the Mantown calendar what we were given at Bernie's?
Yes.
And so LB had a part in choosing those women as well?
He was the photographer, the in-studio shoot photographer, but he went under the name of Mr. X on air when we were doing those photo shoots.
Wow.
Yes.
Those are spicy photos.
Well, you know, Courtney, it was a different time.
Right.
It was a different era.
Yeah. Calendars were big back then.
Yes, they were. All right, Chime, let's at least start with some leads here this morning.
This is the Greg Hill Show. Time now for The Lead.
Perfect one for LB Sean. At one point he did an interview and said that was his song, and then therefore that was played anytime anybody was ever talking about the Big Bad Bruins of the late 1980s, early 90s, and leads this morning are brought to you by Subaru. It is going to be a Subaru summer. Find your 2025 Subaru at SubaruofNewEngland.com. Hey, Shine, what's up?
Hey, Greg, good morning. Last week, and even in trending, Courtney mentioned, oh, goodness, I'm going to sneeze.
Oh, look at the light. Oh, you could have kept your mic on so we could hear the sneeze.
Yeah.
I don't know. I was trying to be polite. Do you really want to hear me sneeze twice?
Maybe people don't believe you're actually sneezing.
Well, if you watched on Twitch, you could see me sneeze very aggressively. But apologies.
Some people out in the hallway caught little teeny bits of Chick-fil-A when you just sneezed on their actual person.
Yeah. So where did Curtis send that photo to us, by the way? Is that from the airport?
Yeah.
They're opening a Chick-fil-A?
Logan.
Yes. Might be making more trips, Greg. Who knows? Yeah.
Just drive out to the airport, go to Chick-fil-A. And
yeah, go through security just to get Chick-fil-A.
It's the Delta terminal.
I'm with Shime, though. They're hard to find.
There's one Chick-fil-A? In Back Bay.
Yeah, they're hard to find.
There's one right on Boylston Street, Back Bay.
Yeah, but I mean, like, if you just, like, look for them, like, so where's there another one close to the city?
At Framingham.
Yeah. And then there's that one in the Cape in Hyannis.
Yeah, well, like, there's none in, like, Everett,
the ferry.
You know, like, where you might not be in Back Bay. There's, like, no one.
One at the Pheasant Lane Mall. Yeah.
There's one like, Dedham, I think, right?
Oh, okay.
All right, anyway, your lead.
Anyways, yeah, sorry, apologies, my lead. Courtney had mentioned it in trending as well. We talked about it last week, the idea that the Celtics and Dame Lillard would have mutual interest.
Yes.
Well, it seems like there's going to be another player that could be available very similarly to Damian Lillard, and that would be one Bradley Beal, who we know has a long history with Jason Tatum. They have a connection. So I think that the Celtics need to pursue one of these two guys. You're going to be able to get them for the mid-level exception because they are getting paid by another team, which means it's not going to count against your luxury tax threshold at all. It's only going to be like $5.5 million for 2 years. It's really simple. If it doesn't work out, you can cut bait. If it does work out, you're getting an absolute steal for basically nothing. And so I think one way or another, the Celtics really need to make sure they're in on either Lillard or Beal here.
Does it bother you? Are you concerned that Dame Lillard is rehabbing that injury? You're not going to have him for most of next season, or
I think the idea is if you're getting Dame, you're really gearing up for that 26-27 season. Right. Whereas if you're getting Beal, it's really almost to be a stopgap for Tatum being out, because Beal can play right away next season and then still be there for the 26-27 season.
I like Dame because I'd rather shoot for the season.
Tatum being back, yes. The season after this one.
Yeah, and then Dame is a better player than Bradley Beal, so that's what I would rather.
Okay. All right, Chime, thank you.
You're welcome.
The rest of today's leads coming up next.
I'm Dana Carvey.
I'm David Spade.
Fly on the Wall's back for another season now on audio and video every Monday and Thursday.
So many incredible guests will be joining us.
Follow and listen to Fly on the Wall everywhere you get your podcasts.
Too good to be true.
Well, we all get a break from Curtis for a couple weeks. He is off until nearly the end of July. That's an awful lot of flex time.
Yeah.
That's going to throw him right into the lead when it comes to the clubhouse and flex days.
Thank goodness.
Surpassing both you and Chime.
Yeah. Just briefly. So,
why? Are you going away for a while?
No, I think Courtney's going away for like a week and a half, aren't
when
you?
When are you going away?
I'm going away Thursday.
Oh, all right. Oh, wow. Well, must be nice. Wiggy and I will just keep working.
Hey, I'll be here. I've been talking about it for months.
Chime as well. Yeah. And certainly this morning, your thoughts and your memories of LB, we are doing that all morning long on this show. And we have leads left to get to, including one from Courtney. Courtney, we got Chime, right? Yeah. Courtney, good morning.
Hello. Good morning, everybody. First and foremost, of course, my thoughts and prayers are with you, Greg, and with the family of LB. But Maura Healey made an announcement that caught my attention as a renter here in Boston. Maura Healey announced on X, big news, I'm getting rid of broker's fees for renters in Massachusetts. From now on, whoever hired the broker is on the hook for the fee, because it should be that simple. And it should. Across the country, there is no broker fees. Uh-huh. People are not expected to pay 4x their rent up front. Right now, if you get a place in Southie, and the average cost of a place in Southie is $4,300, uh-huh, it's going to cost you over $17,000 up front.
Because it's first,
you got first, last security, and you got to pay the broker fee.
Correct. Wow. That there is not a lot of people in this economy who have over $17,000 just willy-nilly ready to give over to
in this economy
to pay for their rent. I also think you never see that broker's fee again. Yes, you get your first, your last. You'll hopefully get your security deposit back. But the broker fee never made sense to me. Mm. It doesn't make sense why a person that I did not hire, a broker that I did not hire, I am paying 1 month of rent to.
Right.
Like, this should have been handled years ago. Mm. So credits Maura Healey for getting this done.
Oh, yeah. This is a big one. I love the naivete of youth and of elected officials who have never worked in the private sector. Mm. What is your guess about the broker's fee that the landlord has been collecting from a renter, half of it or whatever, going forward? Where do you think that broker's fee will be made up?
Out of the landlord's pocket.
Out of the landlord's pocket? You think the landlord is just going to go, okay, I'll say, they're going to raise rents.
They can't raise rents.
They can raise rents.
But so what do they do in Chicago?
This is the
problem. If people keep paying, they're going to keep raising it.
Right.
No, but
this is the problem with these people who get elected, who I don't think they've ever actually lived the real life of people who actually have to work. Like, the landlord is just going to go, okay, fine. Renters aren't paying it. I'm just going to raise the rent and make up for it.
But
I'll make up for that $4,300. I'll raise the rent $400 a month.
So, like, explain to me how
does
all
nothing. This does nothing for people. By the way, I love your optimism, and your heart is in the right place. But They're just going to screw the people who are renting and charge more for rent.
So then why all the other cities, why, like Chicago, when I was living in Charlotte, like those cities did not have broker's fees. How do they get away with it there? And the rents are far less expensive.
So explain to me, the broker's fee is that, why are you paying that?
I don't know.
So the broker can get paid.
Like, so the person who helps you find the apartment. Yes,
but no, they're not helping me. They're just listing the apartment on Zillow. I'm clicking the link, and I'm going to go see it. Sometimes the broker's not even there.
Oh, okay.
They give me a code to go in.
All right. Courtney, thank you. Good lead this morning. Wiggy, hello. Good morning.
All right. Hello and good morning. First off, like Courtney just said, my deepest condolences to you, Greg, and the family of LB, because obviously I know how close you guys were. But if you look at the Boston Red Sox and where they are right now, they have a 7-game home stretch coming up before the All-Star break. And this 7-game home stretch could really put them in a position for them to say, okay, coming after the All-Star break, we are right, not just back in the mix, we are a legit contender for possibly the division, you know, even more so a better wild card position. So it is so important for you to be able to capitalize on this the 7-game stretch. So you're going to be 3 against Colorado, and I believe it's 4 against Tampa Bay.
If you split with them, you know, you sweep Colorado and you split with them, then you're 5-2 in that stretch and you're smack dab in the middle of it.
Yeah.
And then you better be buyers.
Yeah, and I think that from what we know from talking to Sam Kennedy on, what was that, Thursday?
Yes.
When we were down at Lake Winnipesaukee, which was unbelievable.
It was.
What a great, great event and great turnout. I'm like, we definitely got to do that next year. And we'll rank.
We might have to do it again this summer. It was so much fun.
Man, leader in the clubhouse.
Yeah.
And so
I definitely need to see Wiggy fall off a paddleboard again.
That is extremely difficult to do.
Were you sore the next day?
No, but I was
expecting maybe some abs to be.
No, it is very difficult to get on the damn thing.
Yeah.
I don't know how people get on
it. That could be a weight issue.
That
might be what the problem is.
But Eamon did say I was on one of the inflatables, and it's a lot hotter on the inflatable than it is on, like, the regular surfboard-looking one that made out or whatever that material is. Anyways, if the Red Sox can get this stretch going and put themselves in a great position at the end of the All-Star break, because remember, Sam Kennedy told us, they are now, if they are in a good position come All-Star break, come trade deadline.
Right back in.
They are back in it, and they're buying.
Let's go. All right, we got to take a break. I'll get to my lead coming up next.
Hey, guys, Fly on the Wall is back for another season. That's right, on audio and video every Monday and Thursday.
Follow and listen to Fly on the Wall everywhere you get your podcasts.